Good evening and welcome to Politically Incorrect for June the 16th, 2022. This week's topic is the crypto crash, the Great Depression Revisited, brought to you by eternalaffairsmedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater Game Over and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. If you happen to feel led to plant a financial seed in our media ministry, please visit donate.eamedia.online or visit store.eamedia.online. Please help keep the truth online. Hi, Joanne, Eric, Marilyn, I think is in there. Good evening, everyone. Say a very brief prayer this evening. I'm praying a lot for this nation and praying a lot for our friends, families, and I just had a very good, very dear friend, conservative young fellow I worked with, supported my causes, supported my campaigns, and always insisted on calling me councilman, even after I was out of office, passed away of cancer. Unexpected. So I wish to say a prayer for not just my good friend, John, for all those who are suffering, who are sick, who are suffering financially. Heavenly Father, we pray that you cast your glory upon those in need, not just for the next week, but all the time. We pray that you guide them along their path, be it a positive, negative path, be a path that is unexpected. We all follow your path, Heavenly Father. We pray that you take care of all of us, and especially those who are in grave need or who are ill. We pray these things in your glorious name. Amen. Again, June donors we've got, and no new ones. It's all the great ones who have given us some sort of funds. One-time donations of Andy, Lisa, Reverend Dave, Truth Premium subscribers of Linda, David, Bruce, Dean, and Charlotte, Diana, Pamela, and patrons of Alicia and Dan. Thank you all for supporting the mission. So, folks, I'm going to open up the program by if we suddenly disappear, don't be surprised. And hopefully, we don't. But there's a thunderstorm bearing tornadoes and other crazy hail and stuff barreling down on this town, and hopefully it shears to the north or south, as it usually does. But there's rumblings out in the wild out there, so just keep an ear to it. Always comes right during my podcast. It's the most popular time for tornadoes, storms. So we're gonna open up a little bit of what's going on the past week in general. I had a lot of fun today. I've been having nothing but trouble since we had a company called Metrocast who provided cable to the neighborhood. They were so bad, I refused to use them. Then another company called Atlantic Broadband, a lot of people know them nationwide, took over. And I was forced. They weren't that great. I was forced because of working from home to have some sort of internet. And there's no competition because nobody's thought about it as being a utility, which it should be. And then this Breeze Line took them over, and there's nothing. Boy, there's like two or three Facebook groups, and Breeze Line sucks, and all sorts of other things. You pick up the phone every time I want to call them. You pick up the phone, you wait 4 or 5 hours. I ended up calling them 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd still be waiting on a hold. So today I was mad because I've been getting all these spam calls because, unlike cell services, thanks, Kirk. Kirk says Joe Gale's show was disrupted because of inclement weather. So yeah, hopefully we make it through tonight. But anyway, so I had nothing but trouble with it because it's unlike the cell services; they're not forced to. The cable companies aren't forced when they provide phone service to provide any kind of filtering. So I get all about my car's warranty is due and my son's. My son's kid's been kidnapped, and I mean, I don't know, all kinds of crap. You know, FBI wants me, the CIA wants me. I don't know. So I call up. So I try to call this crazy breeze line. No answer as usual. I gave up. So I worked it. I said, you know, I'm going to try their chat because I didn't realize they even had chat. So I went on the chat. Bang, within 2 minutes, I got somebody on chat. I told them what the story was. I said, look, I want to cancel the service. I'm going to hook it up to my cell service because it's just ridiculous. We bantered back and forth for a while. So ended up, she says, oh, well, you're in an old bundled plan anyway. So I ended up getting half the price, twice the speed, and they're going to put filtering and they're going to make my line unlisted. So I said, well, you know, that's a day well spent. So just always note the chats out there. Chat seems to be a good way to go these days. So if you ever have an issue, but I was kind of pleased with that, actually. We'll see how it goes. I haven't got rid of the spam yet, but it's going to take a while, I assume. Another really great, folks, you know, we can be heard. People can be heard. We had a really great, phenomenal success yesterday. We had we have 75 Patriot groups in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They were all splintered, and the GOP and the senators and the congressmen all laughed at us and made fun of us, representatives. They'll never get together. They'll never do anything. Well, we put Doug Mastriano in as a candidate for governor. GOP didn't want him in. That Patriot groups did that. Didn't even have that much money. And our biggest success was yesterday when we went up against Act 77, the mail-in ballot in Pennsylvania. We got recognized in over 32 newspapers across the Commonwealth. And they all said basically that for so long, these people have ignored the common folk. They've ignored the people groups. They've ignored the Patriot groups. Not any longer. We actually got recognized. There must have been 30 or 40 cameramen and news reporters out at these events. Unfortunately, it was during the day, and I ended up missing it, but I'm proud of the group that I belong to here, the We the People group in Columbia County. Just a wonderful, wonderful group, and you know, it shows that we need to stick together. We can push things forward one by one, bit by bit. We will get rid of all the rhinos. We'll get rid of all the Democrats. We'll get rid of all the people that hate us and put people in that love our country. So, with that said, another interesting thing today. There was an interesting story about someone had called Joe Biden an old senile something or another. I don't know. And someone came back and said, well, Trump's only a couple years younger than Biden. And the guy replied back, and I thought this was the greatest. It's not what your physical age is. Health, your physical ability, your knowledge, your cognizance, the fact that you still have your brain power behind you. And that's the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. With only a couple years difference, Joe Biden looks like, I don't know about you, what do you think? To me, it looks like he's about 100 years old. I mean, really, seriously. Then if you look at Donald Trump doesn't look a day over 60. Seriously, he doesn't act a day over 60. I just think it's absolutely wonderful. So it does make a difference. But I thought it was a great comment. The other thing was, if you hadn't seen it, there was press secretary, the Biden's press secretary came on, was talking about, oh, the economy and all that. And she said, and boy, she was getting hit with a lot of questions about it. But the stock market, which she didn't have a clue. She thought the stock market represented the economy. She thought it represented the people. No, it doesn't. She thought it represented inflation. No, it doesn't. It's actually deflation. It's deflationary. We're losing money in the stock market. I'm going to get into that in a minute. That's part of the topic for tonight, which is what I'm leading into right now. And then she came up and she said she was touting how wonderful that we're doing. She says we can survive this because we have the best economy since, you know, chopped liver back in the 1900s. And we've got the best economy since humanity ever was created. What an idiot. What a fool. What a stupid woman. God, you know, I'm embarrassed to live in America. The only country that I'm not embarrassed by is Australia, because they're more screwed up than we are. I don't know what Australia's probably so huge, it's so big, and yet they're like they're weird. You know, they burned their guns, what, 2 years ago? Forced everybody to turn their guns in and burned them. A bunch of assholes. All right, enough of that. Let's get to the topic before the thunderstorms come in here. Actually, I think they're going the other way. Maybe across our fingers, folks. So, for those who don't know and have been had their head down in a sand bucket or don't care to watch the news and what's going on, cryptocurrency has crashed. I mean, crashed. And the stock market is taking a nosedive. Now, there's an interesting thing about the stock market. You see, the stock market, and the reason I don't mention the Great Depression for the stock market is right now we're the corporations in the deep state is so embedded, they have backup fail-safe plans for everything. The market's going to go down just like it did in at the beginning of the pandemic. It probably won't hit that low, but then it'll come back up. And if you look over the overall history of the stock market since it began, there's a constant uprising in price and upright, it's a constant positive trend, even when there's big dips, even including the Great Depression. If you look over the overall, at the overall, if you didn't have to spend money in the Great Depression, if you had money on the side or had a job and you had money in the stock market, you just kept it in the stock market. And 20 years later, you could retire because those same stocks, if you picked the right ones, would go up and they would would recover from the Great Depression. There were a lot of millionaires made in the Great Depression who actually bought stocks during the Great Depression and made a lot of money. I bought a lot of stocks in 2008 when we had the crash, 2011 when we had the crash, and then in 2020 when the pandemic crashed the market for really low levels. Bought a car with it. I still have money left over, even with the downturn right now. So the stock market is different than cryptocurrency. Now, here's the thing about cryptocurrency. Now, cryptocurrency is a unique product. And we've gone over some of this in past podcasts, but I've kind of compiled some things. Because they've said that cryptocurrency is a commodity. Now, this is very important to follow this. They said cryptocurrency is a commodity and should not be regulated by the SEC. That's what was determined in courts, at least so far. And as far as taxation purposes, it's taxed like a commodity. Now, I want to tell you what's going on with commodities. When the market crashes, when people run out of money, when economy goes bad, commodities go up. What's happening to gasoline? What's happening to the price of corn, bacon, beef, wheat? See, commodities follow the economy. The economy crashes, the economy goes up, people make less money. They've got to buy things, but they're not buying them, so the price goes up, supply and demand. When there's no demand, the price goes up because it still costs the same amount of money. See, corporations will always want to make X amount of dollars. This is what you got to remember. Now, General Motors says, we're going to make $500 million this year. And they don't care if there's no cars available. They don't care if parts aren't available from China. They don't give a rat's backside if people aren't buying cars because they cost $100,000. They just need to know they're going to make $500 billion in 2022, and they're going to make it. So if half the people buy cars, they've got to charge twice as much for the cars to make their $500 billion. See, that's how the economy works, but that's not what's happening to cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency should be going up. There's two reasons that cryptocurrency should be going up. The first is it should be a hedge in bad times. You should be able to trade cryptocurrency for cryptocurrency and buy things with cryptocurrency and not have to even touch the US dollar. Then there'd be no problem, see? There'd be no problem. People would love that because the government would have no control over that because it's not currency, it's a commodity. You give me corn, I'll give you wheat. That's not how it's working, though, because the likes of Elon Musk and the likes of a lot of the hedge funds that bought into Bitcoin, another cryptocurrency, are using it as currency. They're using it as cash. They're using it, and it's not cash. That's the thing. Cryptocurrency is not cash. Cryptocurrency is a commodity. It should not be tied to cash. It should not be tied to the US dollar. It should not be tied to any coin or any dollar or any money. But because the corporate hedge funds and the corporate geniuses like Elon Musk turned it into currency based on U.S. dollars, now it's going to crash because now they're scared. Now they're scared. Everything's going down. They're scared and they're selling. Well, wait, what happens when you sell something? When you sell a ton of stuff and you try to get rid of it, the value goes down, supply and demand. You know, Bitcoin was selling for $76,000 a coin just last fall. Latest price I saw on Bitcoin was about little over 20,000. Dogecoin, Shiba Inu, some of the other coins, they've dropped 75 to 85% in value. Because all the corporate giants are getting out and everybody's following the trend. Now, here's the real problem. Let's look at this a little further. Where is cryptocurrency in relation to the U.S. dollar? Well, look at the Great Depression. What happened in the Great Depression? You know, in the Great Depression, we didn't have the FDIC to protect our money. And money was based on gold. But because there was a run on money, and everyone ran to the banks to take their money out, well, guess what? You may or may not notice, most of you do, because you're pretty smart than what folks I see here. And thanks again, everybody, for coming tonight. Banks don't keep all their cash on hand. If every person who has an account with a bank were to run to the bank and say, give me all my money, only 10% of those people, roughly, would actually get that cash because that's all the bank actually has. Even in fiat money, that's all they carry. That's why they upped that in 2000 after the 2008 crisis with the real estate bubble. But it's still not a good thing. All they do now is see if the bank has the capability to handle such a crisis. Well, the FDIC kind of fixed that because the FDIC said, if you want your money back and a bank doesn't have it, we'll give it to you. We'll print more money and give it to you. Basically is what they said. You have to look at the fine print, though. It could take years to get your money back from the FDIC if the banks crash. But either way, the FDIC protects the people with banks. The FDIC, however, does not cover cryptocurrency. No one covers cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is the Wild West, folks. Cryptocurrency is nothing. It's ethereal. It's what you make of it. It's more imaginary than the fiat dollar because it's backed by absolutely nothing, not even the FDIC. And what's happening now is a banking crisis with cryptocurrency. What we're seeing is Coinbase and others are shutting down trades. So you have money and you can't get it out, just like you couldn't get money out of the banks during the Great Depression. Huge, huge problem. Because if you look at it, in cryptocurrency, there's over twice the amount in cryptocurrency of cash available in the entire world in every single currency of every country. There's not enough money to pay people if they bail out and want cash for their crypto. Now, brings an interesting point as to where cryptocurrency might be headed. Now, this is a cool thing, folks. So cryptocurrency is probably going to crash even more as businesses get out and people sell. But what's going to happen is that you're now going to have less cryptocurrency out there. What's left is going to be worth more. And now if someone comes up with a brilliant notion that you could actually buy and trade in cryptocurrency without going through the U.S. dollar, now you got something of value. Now you got a potential for something to happen. So it's something worth following because like I said, right now it's crashing like crazy. And the problem is, where's our inflation coming up? Where is the price of our goods coming up that is never mentioned anywhere on any podcast, on any major mainstream media, on any off-stream media? No one has mentioned the big problem right now that all these hedge funds and businesses that invested in cryptocurrency have lost all that money and someone's got to give it back to them. You know who that someone is? It's you and me. That's a good chunk of your inflationary problem right now, is the cryptocurrency crash and the loss of money. Because it's a stupid, stupid thing to do. Always buy low, sell high, buy low, sell high. What do these idiot companies and hedge funds do? They buy low, they wait till it gets high, and they're like, oh my God, it went low, I'm getting rid of it. They have these things they call fuses on their buy and sell. So that when they start losing money, it's an automatic sell, whether they've lost the 90% of what they bought or whatever. Now, you got to remember that even though cryptocurrency is ethereal, it's paid for in cash, unless you have other cryptocurrency. Crypto miners have it made. They mine the crypto. They use the crypto. They buy more crypto with crypto. That's the way it should be. But that ain't the way it works, folks. You're going to see a major issue with cryptocurrency causing the price of goods to go up. A lot of our inflation is based on these ethereals. NFTs is another one. NFT is completely useless. Who the hell would buy? I need the logic of this. NFT is part of crypto. It's all of its blockchain crap. And you know, people will put up something like the first tweet was put out. The very first tweet that was ever, or the very first email that ever went out. You'll get the original thing. It's all locked in. It's only one copy of it. You can't make duplicates. Or they'll put up a photo of the Mona Lisa that's put in. And what happens is they buy into these things. Now, it's a scam. It's criminal. Because I think somebody paid, oh God, what was it? I'm trying to think of which one it was. There was like $40 million for some stupid thing. I mean, it was like, I don't even remember. Something with Marilyn Monroe. It's something, some crazy, a picture or something. And they pay like $42 million. And all it is an electronic piece of crap that if your computer dies, you lose the thing. But they do it because it's like the crack dealers. It's like the cocaine and heroin dealers. They do it because it's something they can allegedly own. They can bury their illegal or illicit money. They can launder their money through these NFTs and through crypto. And it's off the books. Same with artwork. When the rich people that buy artwork, they don't buy it because they like art. They buy it because it's worth a ton of money. And they can shove it in their basement and pretend they have assets. But it's stupid. Who would pay millions of dollars? I mean, some of the even weirder things, these people are paying tens of thousands of dollars for kids' images, kids' drawings that are like scribblings. There was a girl, I think she's a 10-year-old girl, is a multimillionaire now, selling her scribblings. She was autistic. Oh, wow, an autistic kid's making up little paintings. We're going to buy them. Insane. Who would do it? You're going to see all of this crash, and it's going to transform. The big transformation is going to be in this. I'm going to use the term meta-universe. I don't think there's going to be more than one meta-world, so to speak. I don't think that Zuckerberg's going to own the whole thing, but I think there's going to be a virtual world out there that we go walking around in, that we're going to, that our funds will be spent through there. I think you're going to see a lot of this stuff changing, and now that cryptocurrency and those NFTs and all other stuff become valuable in that virtual world. It's going to be weird, but I guarantee it. Now, if you heard it first here, but I guarantee that's going to happen within the next 5 or 10 years, without a doubt. It's already started. Crypto is the cause of all our problems right now. I hate to say it, but it really is. Because so much money was invested. I mean, you figure it out, twice the amount of money in all the world. And it's mostly hedge funds and rich people and big companies that bought into this stuff. It's insane, right? I mean, it's just crazy. It's gotta give at some point, seriously. You know, there's no way it can't not just give. And you know, like I said, there's no protections, and it's not considered money anywhere. I think that when the feds determine that it's a commodity and not an asset and not a monetary type of trade, that that's what caused the failure. And on top of that, you've got the everything that's going on with the war in Ukraine. You got the monkey pox and the flu and whatever the hell else coming down the road. Now you got this crypto being determined to be a commodity. So keep your eyes on it, folks. There'll be more to come. I hear thunder coming in really bad. I'm waiting for a tornado to come around. Don't forget the committee hearings. Yeah, I'm not worried about committee hearings right now. And thank you, Marilyn, Eric, because we're going to see what happens with that. The only thing that they're doing is they want to ensure that Donald Trump, and that's just kind of an offshoot before we close tonight, but this committee for the January 6th, I don't even know what to call it. I don't want to say the wrong words or I'll probably be arrested. So I like it. I was impressed. I really thought it was a really cool undertaking to try and save our country. But it basically is just they're only doing it because they failed to impeach the president, to fully impeach him. They failed to go through the Senate. And Anna's reminded me the Central PA's got a tornado watch. It's coming here. I hear it coming in. But yeah, they basically just don't want Donald Trump to run. They don't want us to have, they want to get that old fart that's in the White House to run a second. I don't know who the hell's going to vote for him. I think he's screwed things up so bad that, hopefully people realize that. Before I close, let me just remind you that we do have a great patron. We always, a great patron and patriot, Mike Lindell. He's one of our sponsors. He's giving a discount to anyone who of our listeners who wants one of his pillows, which are really great, by the way. I've got one for my wife. She loves it. My Pillow promo code is eternal at mypillow.com. You can receive a really great discount. You can also call 800-795-5993. That's 800-795-5993. And please support our sponsors. It helps us support our podcast. And Michael Lindell is a really great person doing a lot. Maybe a run for president one day. I don't know. With that, I've got a tornado coming in, folks. I am going to hopefully hide in my basement until it passes. And hopefully we have a podcast next week. Hopefully we have a place to broadcast the podcast from. Let's put it that way. But I appreciate everybody stopping by. Let's send some more people by each week. Not sure what the topic is going to be next week. It's always an interesting topic and a timely topic. We try to stick to one main topic and then other things that relate to that and interconnect to them. So if you have any thoughts for things, please let us know. And God bless everyone. Thank you, Joanne, as well. And have a great evening. Boy, here comes a storm. I'm going to make a fast beat out of here. Have a great one, folks. We'll see you next week. Thanks again. That, as Joanne said, I'm going to head down to the basement. We'll see you all next week. God bless every one of you. Take care. Thanks again.